Thank you for joining us in our worship service today. We're so excited you're here. I'm excited for this new year, and I wanted to say Happy New Year. As we do this year, 2022, my heart, and I believe yours as well, is to say, Lord, I want to do this year with you. Would you remind me and remind us that my life belongs to you? It's yours. And so join us as we sing this hymn today, Take My Life, and let that be our prayer this year. Lord, we want to do it with you. Let's worship.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love, at the impulse of thy love.
Let's sing together. Take my feet.
Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King, always only for my King.
We'll sing like this. Take my life. Take my life.
Take my life.
Take my life.
If you're newer to Christian Assembly, come join me at Partnership.
If you've been here for years but don't feel connected, come join me at Partnership.
If you want to learn more about Christian Assembly and what we do as a church, come join me at Partnership.
If you'd like to meet our pastors, come join me at Partnership.
If you want to meet others, come join me at Partnership.
Well, good evening. All of these good-looking people have one thing in common. They are inviting you to join them at Partnership. So whether you're new or you've been around for a long time, but you've never investigated who Christian Assembly is and if it's the right place for you, we invite you to be a part of Partnership. It's really the first step in terms of belonging here at Christian Assembly. The Partnership class will begin Sunday, January 23rd. Breakfast will be provided. And I heard there are going to be breakfast burritos in the house. So if that doesn't entice you to come, and those people don't, well, just come for the burritos, right? No, it's going to be fun. You can register online for the Partnership class, or you can also register with the Partnership card that is in the seat back in front of you, so you can grab that Partnership card. You can fill that out, drop that in the offering basket, and then we'll let you know more details if you fill out that card. Well, welcome. My name is Marvin. Happy New Year to all of you. Great to worship with you this evening. It's great to be with you, whether, again, you're here for the first time or you're with us for a long, long time. We just want to say thank you for being with us tonight. Welcome. If you are here for the first time, we would love to get to know you. There is a connection card, and it's right in the seat back in front of you. You can grab that connection card. You can also fill that out, drop it in the offering basket. Let us know that you're here. Somebody will call you this week. Otherwise, you can stop by our new people's table out in the lobby, and someone will say hello to you there, and there's some great information for you on the life of our church. Well, a few things I want to highlight that are happening here at Christian Assembly, the first of which I'm super excited about. It's the men's gathering happening this Wednesday night, January 12th. Any guys here? All right. There's some guys here. Wednesday night, this Wednesday, January 12th, 7 p.m. in this room, we're going to be gathering for the men's gathering. And I almost forgot, so I'm going to pause right now and say hello to my online audience. Welcome. We're glad that you're with us here tonight as well. And you're invited to join us for men's gathering online or in person as well. And we're going to be having banh mi sandwiches available to all the men. So please come invite somebody. If you don't know what a banh mi sandwich is, you're going to find out this Wednesday, and it's delicious. I know. I was like, what is that? But it's really good. Trust me. It's great. It's great. We're going to have that available for all the men, and we're actually inviting all men ages 6th grade and up to join us. So if you have a son, would you bring them with you? If you have a dad, bring them with you as well, an uncle, a grandpa, a neighbor, whoever you want to join us this Wednesday night for the men's gathering. The Women's Bible Study will also be kicking off soon. It's just over a week away. It's going to begin the week of January 18th and 19th. They're going to be studying the books of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John with other women. So if that's something of interest to you, we invite you to be a part of the Women's Bible Study. Childcare is available for a Women's Bible Study. You just have to register for that online. So you can go online and get some more information for that. And finally, we are going to be launching 10-week life groups at the end of January. And we're looking for folks who might say, you know, I've heard a lot about life groups, and maybe it's time that I lead a group. And maybe that's something that God is calling me into 2022. So if that's you, if you have an interest in gathering people and studying God's Word together, then we want to talk to you. Jill and I will be on that lobby. You can talk to us as well as there's information on our website as far as how to lead a group. And in your bulletin, there's an email address. You can email us at that email address. Let us know that you're interested, and we'll follow up with you as well. Well, one of the things about this new year that I've been reading is Proverbs 3:9 says, let us honor the Lord with our finances and our first fruits. And now we have an opportunity to do just that, to honor the Lord with all of the goodness that he's entrusted us with. And so we're going to invite our ushers to come forward. If you're new or visiting, we feel no obligation to give during this time. And as the ushers come forward, we're going to ask the Lord to bless this time. So would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you for the variety of ways that we get to worship you through song, through the reading of your word, and now through the giving of our tithes and offerings, Father God. We pray that you would bless each and every person, whether they're doing it here in person or online even, Father God. We just ask that you would bless us as we give. And Lord, we also ask that you would bless all of these exciting ministry opportunities that are starting up, the men's gathering, the women's Bible study, our CA students that even are meeting across the street even now, Father God. Would you bless them as well? We thank you for this time, and we ask this in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.
Well, I want to welcome you to our first official, I guess, weekend of 2022. So great to be with you. Those of you online, want to welcome you as well. If you're a visitor guest, my name is Tom. And of course, to my CA family, always a privilege and an honor to have you here with us. One of the great biblical principles that God has given us is the way that he has ordain life the function is through this principle that the Bible refers to as sowing and reaping. Now, to sow means to plant a seed, and to reap is the idea of gathering in a harvest. There was a mom, her name was Lorna Anderson, and she was planting a garden with her four-year-old daughter named Deborah. And Lorna thought, you know, this would be a good opportunity to teach my daughter a little bit about sowing and reaping. And so she told Deborah, "Deborah, from every 2 to 3 beans that we put in the soil, in due time, we'll probably reap maybe even dozens of beans." Well, Deborah listened attentively as she took this all in her little four-year-old brain. And a few weeks later, Deborah's grandmother sent her a pair of hand-knit mittens that Deborah just loved. And though it was too warm to wear the mittens on that particular day, Deborah insisted to her mom that she let her have them for the day and let her wear them for the day. Well, later in that afternoon, when she came back inside from playing outside, her mom noticed that she wasn't wearing the mittens anymore. So the mom asked her, "Deborah, where are the mittens that Grandma sent you?" To which Deborah excitedly replied, "I like them so much that I planted them. And when they come up, we're going to have a lot of mittens," right? Well, sowing and reaping might not work with mittens, but over the next 3 weeks, we're going to see how this biblical principle does, in fact, work when it comes to sowing seeds to a glad spirit that we'll cover this weekend. Next weekend, we'll talk about sowing seeds to have a generous heart, a heart that's not afraid or fearful when it comes to being generous. And then the third week of the series, we'll be digging in to sowing seeds of unity in all of our relationships. So this week, how can we begin 2022 by sowing seeds of a glad spirit, no matter what circumstances might come our way this year? We're going to consider that, but before we do, let's pray. God, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you even for the gift of technology and how we can gather both physically in this place, but also online. And I ask now by the power of your word that you would remove all distractions, calm our hearts, focus our souls and spirit to hear what you want to say to us. And let us not only be hearers of your word, let us be doers. And in due time, I pray, God, that we would reap a glad spirit, a spirit that's strong and healthy, that's able to stand against whatever circumstances might come our way. So God, we pray now for those on our right and our left. We pray for those online. We ask that you would speak. Give us ears to hear. Give us minds to understand what you're saying to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, on the way in, hopefully you got a bulletin. If you flip it open to the center section, you'll see the scriptures there as well as the teaching notes. And for those of you online, we also have the bulletin there for you and the notes as well. Well, one of the key places that the principle of sowing and reaping is taught is in the book of Galatians. In chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, it says this: "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A person reaps what they sow. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh they will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." Now, notice that according to what these two verses we just read, that we're all sowers, right? So it's not a matter of if you sow or if you don't sow. It's just a matter of what you're sowing to. And the other thing that we immediately see is that this principle works on both the positive side as well as the negative side of the ledger. So if you sow good seed, you will reap a good harvest in due time. If you sow bad seed, you will reap a bad harvest in time. So it works either way. And as we walk our way through this extended pandemic seasons, what I want to do is I want to strengthen us, and I want to strengthen our spirits by God's word, helping us see that we can be planting seeds of gladness, both in our own life, but also in the lives of those around us. Not a naivete, but the strength that comes from God's word that knows that your gladness does not have to be dependent upon your circumstances. We all know that we cannot control all the circumstances that come our way in life, But we can control what seeds we're planting and therefore what harvest is coming to us in due time. So how do we sow the seeds of a glad spirit in our hearts? Four key lessons from God's word. The first one is this: we plant by faith and not by feelings. When it comes to sowing a glad spirit, I never ask myself, did I feel glad today? Instead, I ask myself this question: did I do glad today? There's a big difference between feeling glad and doing glad. Now, maybe more than ever, it's critical for us to have a biblical understanding of these things that we call our feelings or our emotions. And feelings are actually part of how God created us. They're part of life, and they're a good thing, because without emotions, life would be pretty bland. However, we have to also be wise in how we handle our feelings, particularly our negative feelings. In fact, if you're somebody who struggles maybe with chronic, ongoing negative feelings, maybe around depression, anxiety, anger, or more, I want to encourage you to make time to see a qualified Christian counselor, maybe set up a time with one of our pastors so that they can help you navigate. You can learn to help navigate those feelings in God-honoring and healthy ways. Now, like most things in life, we can be tempted to two polar opposite extremes in dealing with our feelings, and neither of them are wise, right? On one extreme, we can be tempted to just ignore our negative feelings, right? Repress them, push them down, just kind of hope that they go away, but that's not a good plan, right? The way that I think of it is like this: negative feelings that you're just pushing down is kind of like pushing a beach ball underwater in a pool, right? You might be able to keep it down for a little bit, but eventually, if you don't deal with it, it's going to pop back up to the surface, right? So what I tell my family is, you're either going to talk out your feelings or you're going to act out your feelings. Those are the options, right? Your feelings are going to be there. You want to be able to deal with them in a good and godly way. On the other extreme, we can be tempted to, when we feel something, to just unleash our feelings and let them rule in our life. Let them have unbridled control over our actions, and that's also not a good plan, right? For example, I can feel angry about something, but that doesn't mean that I should go all scorched earth on everybody I meet that day, because if I do that, the negative feelings that I'm having, that I'm now just unleashing on everybody else, is going to be sowing destruction in my relationships that I'm going to have to go back and repair later. Or if I leave it unaddressed, it's just going to be a degenerated relationship because of that unreconciled action that came from the overflow of my anger, right? So we don't want to be on either extreme. There's a third biblical option, which is this: you can learn to feel something and express it in healthy ways without letting it completely control you. In fact, I would argue that that is what spiritual and emotional maturity is: knowing what you are feeling and why you are feeling it, but not letting those feelings utterly control every action that you take. The fact that we must sow by faith and not just by feelings is what we see in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. In verse 4, it says this: whoever observes the wind will not sow, and whoever regards the clouds will not reap. Just as you do not know how the breath comes into the bones in the mother's womb, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. In the morning sow your seed, and at evening do not let your hands be idle, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. So what we're seeing here is that if you want to grow a glad spirit, you must be willing to do glad even before your spirit feels glad. You must be willing to do glad even when your soul feels a bit windy or your heart feels a bit cloudy. Now, why would that be the case? Because feelings are always a lagging indicator in our life. They always tell us what just happened, right? They tell us about our past. They don't tell us about our future. Feelings are a lagging indicator, but sowing seeds is a leading indicator in our life. they tell you what is going to happen in due time. In other words, if you want to have a glad spirit in time, you must be sowing seeds of a glad spirit today, regardless of how you feel. That's why the psalmist says it this way in Psalm 126, verse 5. It says, those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. Notice it doesn't say they woke up and they didn't feel like planting, so they did nothing. It doesn't say that, right? It said, yeah, they had tears, but they went out and they planted because they knew the planting was going to bring a good harvest in the future. So practically, what does it look like for us to do glad even when we don't feel glad? One of the things I ask myself is this: did I keep my eyes on the Lord today? Psalm 16, verse 8 and 9, I keep the Lord always before me because he's at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, here it is, therefore my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. Therefore, that my heart is glad and my soul rejoices is the harvest that is reaped in time from the daily practice of always keeping the Lord before me. And notice the order. It's not, I felt glad, so then I kept the Lord before me. It's, I always keep the Lord before me. So therefore, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. You sow seeds of gladness every time you put God in front of whatever it is you're facing. And of course, that can begin by times with God in the morning and God's word and prayer. But notice it says, I keep the Lord always before me. Like in the middle of the day when I get bad news, I put the Lord between me and the bad news. At evening when I get bad news, I can put the Lord before me and the bad news. I keep the Lord always before me. It's not that I'm naive about challenging circumstances that come my way. It's that the circumstances look different when Jesus is standing in my viewfinder. And I understand that the one who says nothing is impossible for me is with me as I walk through whatever challenges and circumstances might come my way. So I keep the Lord always before me. Did I keep my eyes on the Lord today? And part of that comes from Psalm 4 as well, where it tells us that we can pray and ask the Lord for a spirit of gladness. Psalm 4, verse 7 says to the Lord, you have put gladness in my heart more than when there was grain and wine would abound. You can say, God, I want to have a glad spirit in 2022. You know, some of us, I think many of us, it's like, we're kind of weary of being weary. That's how I'm entering 2022. It's like, yeah, I know. The news isn't good. I understand. You don't need to tell me. And I'm tired of being weary. And so I'm just going to keep planting, sowing seeds of gladness. I'm going to ask God to give me a glad spirit that is not dependent upon my circumstances. The second thing, in addition to did I keep my eyes on the Lord today, is this. Did I take care of my body today? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, I glorify God and your body. Our bodies and our spirits affect each other because we were created as one unified person. So part of sowing seeds to a glad spirit is taking appropriate care of my physical body. So I must discipline myself, right, to eat well and sleep enough and exercise, not just when I feel like it, right? I need to do that even when I don't feel like it. Like my wife, who I love dearly, she loves to go running. I hate to go running. I've never loved running. I don't even like people who like running. So I don't know how I ended up being married to someone who loves to go running every morning. I just feel guilty when she's lacing up, hey, I'm going running. And I love it and I hate it at the same time because I'm like, I don't love running. Like, why do I not love running? And yet, I've got to find my ways to take appropriate care of my body, and you do too. If you take care of your body, in time, you will always feel better than if you did not do that. Always. You know, I think, no, Tom, you don't understand. I struggle, you know, with feeling depressed. You will always feel less depressed if you take care of your body. It doesn't mean you'll go from depression to no depression overnight, but it does mean you'll go from depression to slightly less depressed because the way that God has made your body and my body work. So you got to take care of your physical body. The last thing I would say under that is this. Did I do at least one joy builder today? We all have things that make us feel a little bit more joyful, a little bit more alive. I try to do at least one of those things in addition to my time with the Lord and exercise and nutrition every day. It could be time with a friend. It could be a hike. It could be catching a sunset. It could be reading a chapter in a good book. Whatever it is for you, you probably know what it is. If you don't know what it is, your homework is literally to begin to write down, what are the things that make me feel alive? What are the things that make me feel refreshed? And make certain you're doing at least one of those a day as part of planting the seeds of a glad spirit in your life. Because we're going to plant by faith, trusting that those seeds are going to bring us good harvest in time. So I never wake up and say, do I feel like exercising today? It doesn't matter to me if I feel like it. Some days I do, some days I don't. Doesn't matter. Do I feel like trying to eat well today? Doesn't matter if I feel like it or not. A lot of days I don't feel like it. And so I'm like, no. I'm going to take care of my body. I'm going to keep the Lord always before me. I'm going to do at least one joy builder. And that's part of me planting by faith and not by feelings. The second thing we see is this, that a glad spirit is grown by knowing your God-given responsibilities and managing them well. According to Genesis, you and I were created by God to be responsible and accountable. Prior to sin entering the world, God gave Adam and Eve the responsibility to trust God's goodness, to steward the garden, the earth, to be fruitful and productive, and to maintain a right relationship with each other, amongst other things. So we all have responsibilities in different areas of our life, right? As we step into this new year. Maybe you're a student, and for you, it's about your schoolwork. Maybe you're in the marketplace, and it's about the work you do. Maybe it's relationships in your family or in the church or how you care for your body or manage your finances or share your faith or much more. But all of those responsibilities are to be done under the Lord, right? All of them are to be done under the Lord. Ephesians tells us that God's plan for you in 2022 includes good works that God has uniquely created you to do, that you are responsible to do, that they are your contribution to reflect and refract God's goodness to those around you. In Ephesians 2:10, it says it this way, "For we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." That's why when you have something important to do and you're doing a good job with it, you just feel better about yourself. You just feel a sense of gladness. Conversely, on the other hand, when you don't have any responsibilities or you don't know what those responsibilities are, or if you have responsibilities but you aren't managing them well, you just kind of feel bad about yourself. I saw these principles unfold in my dad's life. For decades, he poured himself into his work and into his family, and he was a great dad. But eventually, he retired from work, and we kids all kind of grew up and moved out. And at first, when my dad retired, it was like pure bliss for him, right? I mean, it was just like, I'm going to sit around. I'm going to watch all the TV I want, all the movies I want. I'm going to sleep in. I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm retired, right? We're going to go traveling. Your mom and I, we're going to travel and do all the trips we've always wanted to do. And it was awesome for them, right? For about 6 months, and they did all that, and that was great. But then eventually, he discovered sitting around watching old movies on TV was kind of depressing. I mean, if that's all you ever do, it eventually becomes a little bit depressing. And so why is that? Because God had created him with God-given responsibilities. Now listen, for some of us, and this is what happened for him, his change in life season meant that he had to discover the new responsibilities that God was giving him, that he wanted him to invest, God wanted him to invest himself into. And my dad ended up finding that. He loved to cook food. And at our church, we had this thing called Youth Club. It was like a after Wednesday school program. And so he just volunteered to cook food with the kitchen crew. And so he would show up and make spaghetti and meatballs and do that. And, you know, maybe like 100 kids would be fed as part of this Youth Club thing. And that brought him great joy to use his love of cooking and also being able to serve others coming together brought him great joy. He also found time to begin to serve with the church more as a volunteer in the local missions work of serving the poor. They had a warehouse where they would distribute warm jackets in the winter. It gets cold in Pittsburgh. And so he just found great joy doing that, right? He wasn't paid for it. It wasn't his full-time job or anything. But he had that responsibility. He took it on, did it well, and found gladness in it. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said it this way, "Life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others?" Ultimately, biblically, you cannot be glad and selfish at the same time. Why not? Because nothing is ever enough for a selfish person. Plus, gladness at its core, theologically, biblically, gladness is relational. And selfish people end up alienating others over time. If you want to sow to a glad spirit in your heart, part of that is to look to the interests of others. Philippians 2 tells us this. In verse 1 and on, it says, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit." Here it is. "Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." You know, a true act of service to someone else is not just about what makes you happy. It might do that. That can happen. A true act of service is about what helps the other person. Throughout your life, your God-given responsibilities might shift. In your schoolwork, in your family life, in your marketplace work, whatever it might be. But when you know and are living out your God-given responsibilities, you are sowing the seeds to a glad spirit. And in due time, you will reap the harvest of joy of seeing God at work through your life. You were created to manage and carry responsibility and carry it well. And God has uniquely created you for the good works that he wants you to do in 2022. And when you do that, you are growing a glad spirit as you see the impact that your gifts are having as you trust God using them to serve and help others. The third thing we see about planting a glad spirit is this. You can talk yourself into a bad mood, but you can also talk yourself out of one. The other day, I spoke to one of my aunts who I had not heard from in a while. She's in her 80s. And I asked her, her name's Marianne, Aunt Marianne. "Aunt Marianne, how are you doing?" I asked her on the phone. And this is what she replied. She said, "Well, I can't complain." And then there was a pause. And she said, "Well, truth be told, I could complain, but it won't do you any good, and it won't do me any good either," right? Now, the Psalms make it clear that there's a time and a place to bring our complaints to God, to unburden ourselves in prayer. But there's also a time to sow seeds of the glad spirit in how you talk to yourself. That's why Psalm 43, verse 5 says, "Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God." Or as the late, great Martin Lloyd-Jones said, "Most of our unhappiness in life is due to the fact that we're listening to ourselves instead of talking to ourselves." One of the practices you can do to sow seeds of a glad spirit is to keep a daily prayer journal. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. I'm not a journaler. That's what I used to think all the time, too. I'm not a journaler. I don't want to do a journal. I can't stick with a journal. Okay, let me just tell you, confession of a recovering, I used to not be a journaler, right? Here it is. I just got a Moleskin, and I just was like, I don't know if I'm going to do this every day, but I'm going to try to do it consistently. And I'm not going to write out a ton of long prayers or anything like that, but I'm just, for me, I'm just going to do a few little lists. little shorthand notes to help myself sow seeds of gladness. So here's one of the things that I've done. Try doing this. I want to encourage you to do this. If you've never done it, make this your New Year's resolution. Get a journal and for 30 days, once a day, prayerfully at the end of your day, reflect and just write your answer to this question. Where did I see God at work today for my good? I mean, literally, it could take you like 5 minutes. Where did I see God at work today for my good? So what I do is I just pray and I say, God, I ask you to help me by your Holy Spirit, to help me notice things, notice people that I didn't notice, that I didn't connect the dots throughout my day, and that I would just write them down. And it's amazing. Even on my worst days, days that I think, well, there's nothing good there. This prayer journal's not working. Why am I even doing this? I shouldn't even be a pastor anymore. When I think that type of stuff, I'm like, no. I calm down, I slow down. God, would you just help me? And I just begin to write down somebody's name. I begin to write down just a bird that I saw at my bird feeder. I begin to write down the fact that I got to go on a walk, a sunset that I saw, a text that I received, the opportunity to do something that helps someone else, that serves someone else, whatever it is. Those things are in your life, even on your worst day, but we need help and discipline to notice them. If you do that for 30 days, it will have planted so many seeds of a glad spirit in you that you will find a resiliency in you that you did not have otherwise. Because in due time, that seeds of gratitude as you write people's names and you pray for them, you say thanks for them, you're going to see that in due time that's going to sprout up a harvest of goodness in your life. The fourth and final thing is this, is that the reaping is always later and greater. It's important for us to understand that you will always reap in a different season than you sow. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 and 2 says this, there's a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven, a time to plant and a time to harvest. In other words, sowing and reaping, including to a glad spirit, implicitly means that it will not come with instantaneous results. And I think this is by God's design because it calls for some faith for us to trust him while we sow and we pray and we wait. It will require patience on our part, even when we're sowing good seed into the right soil, good soil, it just takes time, right? Most of us are not farmers, but I think we all understand that when a farmer goes out to sow seed, it's not like he does that at 8 a.m. and then comes back at noon and harvests all the corn, right? There's a long period of time in between. Pastor Eugene Peterson said it this way once, quote, the person who looks for quick results in the seed planting of well-doing will be disappointed. If I want potatoes for dinner tomorrow, it will do me little good to plant them in my garden tonight. There are long stretches of darkness and invisibility and silence that separate planting and reaping. And during the stretches of waiting, there is cultivating and weeding and nurturing and planting still other seeds. See, the fact that the reaping is later is why I think so many of us are tempted to give up on doing the right thing. We might do it a little bit, but if we don't see fruit begin to immediately emerge in maybe a few days or weeks, we get discouraged. We think it's not working. Later is why we look at people who are doing wrong and we start envying what seems to be their good fortune. Later is why we question our choices. Like, well, what good is it for me to be so diligent and disciplined when nothing seems to be coming from it? Later is why we often give up too soon. But Galatians 6 goes on from where it tells us that we're to reap, that we will reap what we sow. And it says this in a later verse, in verse 9 and 10. It says, so let us not grow weary in doing what is right. For we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have the opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. Greater, so I said it's later and greater, the reaping is later and greater. Greater means that what is reaped will always be more than what is sown. And I think we understand that, right? Like if if we go in our yard and we plant an orange seed and it's in good soil and we weed and we cultivate it, in enough time it will produce a tree, and that tree will yield many oranges with many seeds. And if we plant them consistently, eventually we won't just have one tree, we'll have an entire orchard. Look, we all know, I think all of us understand now, that we cannot control everything that happens in life. But God has put it within our control about what we sow. And He has promised that we will reap what we sow in due time. As we begin 2022 together, how is God inviting you and me to sow a spirit of gladness in our hearts and in the lives of those around us, including this church family, as part of our discipleship as we follow Jesus? Let's pray. God, even now, before we come to your table of communion, I ask that you would apply your word. For some of you, as we start this new year, the word for you that you just need to hear is that you need to plant by faith and not feelings. You're feeling down, you're feeling anxious, you're feeling discouraged, you're feeling weary, you're feeling maybe hopeless. And I understand all that, and I have all those feelings too. Pretty much every single person I know has those feelings from time to time. But don't let your feelings control you. Find a way to deal with them healthily. But in the meantime, be sowing seeds to a glad spirit. Don't ask yourself, did I feel glad today? Ask yourself, did I do glad today? Because if you're doing glad, then you're planting seeds to a glad spirit, that in time you will reap that harvest. Maybe others of you know your God-given responsibilities and you manage them well, including serving others. Don't just pass by that and say, well, that's just how life is. That's an opportunity for joy for you. That you get to make your contribution to serve others through your job, through your school, through your family, through the church, whatever it is. Maybe some of you, what you're thinking is, I don't even know what my responsibilities are. Or I know what they are at work, but I don't know what they are in the church and where to serve. Or I know where they are in the church, but I don't really know how to serve my family members well. Or I know how to serve my family well, but I'm not really serving well at school. Whatever it might be for you, ask God right now to show you the good works that He wants you to do, that He's created you to do. Maybe others of us, you just need to be reminded that you can talk yourself out of a bad mood. You don't have to stay in a bad mood. For some of you, maybe many of you, I would love it if our whole congregation did this. You need to take up that 30 days of journaling challenge. And just each evening, before you go to bed, 5 minutes, where did I see God at work for my good today? And if you can only come up with one thing, then so be it. But maybe you come up with 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 10. And by the end of the month, you're going to have a record to look back on, and you're going to see God at work for your good. And that's going to plant even more seeds of gladness in your spirit and gratitude. Maybe for others of you, you feel like, hey, I've been sowing, but I'm not seeing anything. Just remember that the reaping is always later and greater. So don't grow weary. Keep on planting seeds of a glad spirit. Keep on planting seeds of a strong, healthy, united relationship. We'll talk more about that in a couple weeks. Keep on working for the good of all. And in due time, God, the eternal God, the God who orders all things, promises you that if you do not give up, in due time, you will reap a good harvest. We're about to come to the communion table. In fact, Jesus once was speaking about his death, and he said that if a kernel of wheat does not die and is not sown, if it is not planted, then it will not bear fruit. He was speaking about his own life metaphorically. On the night that he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus gathered his disciples, and he gathered them around a table, and he took a loaf of bread, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat. As often as you do this in remembrance of me." And what are we remembering? Well, one of the things we're remembering is that he was sown into the grave through the cross for us and for our salvation. He literally multiplied himself by sowing himself into the tomb. Likewise, he took a cup of wine and said, "This is the cup of the shedding of my blood, the covenant of the shedding of my blood. As often as you drink this, do this in remembrance of me." And what are we remembering? We're remembering, like the scriptures say, "I put the Lord always before me." As we step into 2022, may this be a year, no matter what good or bad, high or low comes your way, that you put the Lord always before you. That everything you do is unto the Lord. That you learn to plant seeds to a glad spirit, remembering that the God that we follow is a God of hope and love and faith and joy. Let's pray. God, as we come to this table now, whether we're online, whether we're here physically in this room, would you speak to us? The scriptures say that we're to discern the body, that we're to examine ourselves. Take a moment right now. Where do you need to say to God, just thank you for something? Maybe you have a sin that you need to confess, that as you remember what Christ has done for you, you need to say you're sorry for some sin. Maybe God's bringing someone to mind that you need to reconcile with. You need to humble yourself. You might be thinking, no, you don't understand what they did. Yeah, I don't. You're right. But God does. And maybe you need to make the first move because of what Christ has done. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, I want to give you that opportunity now before we receive communion. You can say to him right now, wherever you are, I want to say yes to you. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. Take my sin onto the cross and to the grave, paying justly for my punishment that was justly deserved because of my sin. And then raise me to new life like you resurrected, so that I might live to be a follower of yours all the days of my life and into eternity as well. If you said yes to Jesus for the very first time, I want to welcome you into the family of God, whether you're online, whether you're physically present with us. If you've said yes to Jesus, you're welcome at this table. It's not Christian Assembly's table, it's Jesus's table. If you're not a follower of Jesus, you can just be with us but not participate in this time. For those of you physically present, the self-serve, single-serve communion elements are there for you. For those of you online, you can get your juice and your bread. So God, I pray, wherever we are right now, that you would set apart these common elements of some bread and some juice as we remember you and what you've done. Thank you for sowing yourself into the grave through the cross for us and for our salvation. And thank you for getting up from the grave. God, teach us how to follow you each day, we pray. May you meet with us now as we remember you. In Jesus' name, amen.